Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Lord, we just give you all the glory because it all comes from you and goes back to you. And you're the only one, Lord, that is worthy of our praises. And so speak to us through your word tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tonight, since today is Halloween, let's contrast the difference between light and darkness from the Word of God. And so with that, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. We're contrasting light and darkness. And in 1 John 1 verse 5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is," what? "Light, and in him is no darkness at all." And so God is light. And you want to know what God is? You know, God is love. God is truth. The Bible says here, God is light. So light is a huge theme, especially if that's what God is, then we need to know about that. And notice right in the same verse, there's a contrast of light versus what? Darkness. And so if God is full light, in him there's no darkness at all, right? So there, it's just a polarized kind of thing. They just can't dwell together. The Bible even says that, you know, light can't dwell with darkness. So you know that, you know, sometimes they're trying to get fancy with when you like go into the public restrooms, like at a restaurant or something like that. And they have those little square things that kind of are sensors, but sometimes they don't work. You ever like go in there and it's like the door kind of automatically, it's like shutting on you. So you put like your foot out here and you're trying to feel for the switch somewhere. You know, it's like, man, and once you do, you're good to go, aren't you? I get up so early. I'm tripping and stumbling, feeding my dog in the backyard. So I've got to take out my cell phone and turn that little light thing on. And you know, it's hard to do stuff with one hand, right? Because you got your flashlight in the other. And it sure helps to have that light. And so that's the power of the light. When you turn the light on, then there's just no darkness. So keep that in mind as we go through these scriptures that contrast light and darkness. We would want to say at this juncture, if you're a note taker, that God being light is indicative of God's moral perfection. God's moral perfection. And that's what holiness means. We sang about holiness tonight. You know, God is holy. It means he's morally pure and perfect. That everything that we are not, anything we are like him is because of him. Amen. It surely isn't us, because we are fallen creatures. So God's moral perfection, he is the light. Now let's go over to 1 Timothy 6:16. We'll be turning to a lot of scriptures. 1 Timothy 6:16. And Paul is just all of a sudden going into this whole description of who the Lord is. I guess we should start in 15 to get the full orb. 1 Timothy 6:15, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate. There's a big word for you. Now, remember your teachers at school. How do you define a word? What word do you see in that big word? Potent, right? What is something potent? That's why I like coffee that's French roast. You know, I like potent coffee, man. Don't give me that water stuff with the little brown in it. I like the cowboy coffee. I put nothing in it. I like the potent coffee, man. Well, guess what? God is the all-powerful one. He's potent. Need a little power in your life? He's the only potentate. There's no one like the Lord. You know, on a night like this, the devil gets all the glory. But he was kicked out of heaven and defeated at the cross. Amen? And the Bible says that Satan will soon be under your feet. Shortly, you'll be walking over Satan. We'll tread upon serpents and scorpions, and we have all the power over the authority of Satan because of Jesus Christ in our lives. And then it goes on and says he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And nowadays, we could say with democracies in the world, he's the President of all presidents. Verse 16 now, who alone has immortality? Well, what does that mean? He lives forever. He always was, he is, and he is to come. You know, a very common child question is what? Who made God, Daddy? Who made God, Mommy? And what do you say to the little one? Nobody made him. He always was. And the child, you think the child would just go, well, I don't get it. But the child just goes, oh, okay, you know, and goes on. So, he alone has immortality, dwelling, look at this, in unapproachable light. That's a lot of light, isn't it? You know, when something is so strong and is the light, like a high beam on a car or whatever it might be, I ask you, do you boldly approach it? Or what's a common reaction? You just like, you kind of like stop, right, in your tracks? And what do you kind of do with your hands? You go, whoa! Or, oh, you know, if anything, you're going to retract a little bit, right? Like, wow, what's going on? I can't see. And you kind of go like this. Oh, yeah, it's just my friend coming in with his car. Turn your high beams off, dude, kind of thing. And so there's that unapproachable light. And yet he beckons us to come to him. Isn't that cool? We are so grateful, I should say, about God sending his Son into the world, that we might have a manifestation of that light. But the light was subdued, wasn't it? When Jesus came and the little baby in Bethlehem, you know, I know the Renaissance painters put the halos around him and all this light and stuff, but really it's just a normal baby. Mary and Joseph walking around, just another couple, another baby. So the light was kind of hidden, wasn't it? It was kind of veiled. But God manifested his light through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why it says, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus is characterizing himself. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. There's a lot of I ams. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I'm the bread of life, and so forth. But here he's saying, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So again, in the same verse, the contrast between light and darkness. So Jesus came as the light of the world. Why? Because mankind is in what? Is in the darkness of sin. And guess what? We're born this way. And I can sing that song before so-and-so sang it. Born this way. We are born this. We're born in sin. Psalm 51:5, David says we're even conceived in sin. Right away, boop, the DNA strain. You got your mama's eyes, your dad's nose. Guess what? You got your parents' sin too. All the way back through to who? Our original parents, Adam and Eve. It's just the way it is. And guess what? You're born with it and it's terminal. It's a terminal spiritual disease. And if you die in it, guess what? You will not have the light of life or eternity. And God so loved the world, he saw this dilemma. He saw the plight of mankind. He's even in the rebelliousness of mankind and sin and all that we have done to damage his world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son as the light of the world, that whoever would what? Believe in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Not have the darkness, but have the light. Praise God for that. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a real packed verse, isn't it? So God commanded light to shine out of darkness. He commanded it. It's kind of interesting because he already did that in the physical in Genesis chapter 1. What did he say? Let there be light, and there was light. In the Hebrew, it's light be, light was. I love that. That's more commanding. Light be, light was. Elephant, elephant is. You know, it's just whatever God commands, it's going to happen, right? And so God created that light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. God's light needs to shine in people's hearts because the hearts are dark, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's the light of the knowledge. That's why so often they say, you know, be enlightened, you know, take a class and learn things. You know, you can have the little light bulb there. Woo, life is more brighter. I have more knowledge and I can pursue greater things. But God gave the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How did God manifest himself? Through the face of Jesus Christ. We use that term a lot. You know, what is the face of that thing or that organization? You know, what's the logo or the brand or whatever? You know, God came into the world and he shone his light through the face of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came and he was the face of God, very God himself, and yet his light, you know, it was all just happening. You couldn't see it, but it all came about when he started his ministry, right? After he was baptized and the Spirit came upon him and he taught and he healed and he prepared his disciples for his departure, and then in his passion, suffering, and in his death, and 3 days later his resurrection, guess what? They all saw his light. Now they knew that he was God, that he came from the Father. And he's coming again. Praise the Lord. And so we're grateful for that light. And all a person has to do is just confess that they're in darkness. You know, and that's what it is. Not walking with Jesus is a dark path. And it leads to a Christless eternity. You know, just full of darkness. And we think about our testimonies. When we talk about, you know, BC days before Christ. You know, it's like, there's just one term for it. It's darkness, right? You thought you were happy. You had the money. You had the house. You had, you know, the whole cover, veneer of success and so forth. But guess what? Your heart was just dying inside. Your heart was hurting. And now knowing Christ, it's like, you know what? I've already reached like the pinnacle of maybe many things in my life. But you know what? I don't need them. All I need is Jesus Christ in my life. He makes me happy and he's my success, and I don't need those things anymore. I don't. And the Bible says better is a little that the righteous man has than the great riches of the wicked. And it's just like the Lord to just, you know, keep us simple and to keep us relying upon him. We don't need all that we had before because we just have him. And we just trust him each and every day for our lives, don't we? It's great to lean on the Lord and to really have that need, you know, to look to him each and every day. And so now the light of Jesus is in us. And the first thing we want to do now is what? We want to share that light. Because we just came out of darkness, right? It's like, oh man, I'm in the light. I see things. I feel things, you know? And it's like, man, you know, the colors are brighter. The smells are richer. I mean, the experiences of life are just so much sweeter by knowing Jesus. So now, of course, we want to tell everybody because we see people in darkness. They're just as miserable as we were. And man, we want to go out and we want to shine that light. Now, do we have any call to that from the Bible? Now, is this something like idiotic or stupid? You know, because it's like, well, yeah, I'm just going to go out now and I know Jesus and I want to like stand on the rooftops, man. I just want to preach everywhere, you know, to anyone who will listen. And we would have to say, yes, there's precedent to it and there's a call to it for each and every one of us. So let's go over to Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Here's Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 says, you are the light of the world. John 8, 12 says, I'm the light of the world. Hey, wait a minute. Who's the light here? Well, let's satisfy it. Let's pull it together. Jesus is the light through us. Jesus is the light of the world through us. So Jesus told his followers specifically, you are the light of the world. But yet in another place, we read, I'm the light of the world. What is he saying? I'm going to do this through you. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It's true, isn't it? When it's dark and you're driving, and you see a city up on a hill, you go, oh, it's so pretty, you know? Look how it sparkles, you know, kind of thing. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. I think, yeah, as Jesus is talking, there's some chuckles in the room or on the hillside where he's teaching, Sermon on the Mount. And people are going, yeah, you know, I like this teacher. Because that's really funny. If you think about it, you light a light, you know, and you put it, you know, under the table. It's like, that's really dumb. I could see what this man is saying. That when you light a light, it's to illuminate. It's for all to see. It's saying, welcome. You know, we're better than Motel 6. We're going to leave the light on for you. You know, it's come one, come all. And I just love that. I love the Thomas Kincaid paintings of light. He was the master of light. I love it when houses are lit up. I know people sometimes they dim it, you know, because they're trying to save on their electrical bill. Man, it's just, our utility bills are so high. But it's so cool when people got the lights, you know, and the approach with those solar lights, you know, up on the walkways, and they got their perimeter lights and this, that, and the other. And of course, with the holidays coming, we're going to see more and more of that. There's just something about that twinkle. You know, it's like, wow, it's approachable. It's like, wow, I love that light. And then verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, good works are so important, aren't they? So we share our faith in two ways. We witness with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's verbal, right? We're fishers of men. We get the gospel out. We explain the gospel, the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. Jesus loves you, man. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again. The Bible calls all people to repent and to be saved. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ is coming back. Are you ready for his coming? That's the gospel. That's what we want to share. But we also share Christ through what? Our lives, our good works, our attitude. The way we answer the phone at work with a little cheer, a little smile in the tone. The way we come in on Monday morning when everybody else is grumpy Stayed up too late watching the Dodgers. See? Right? 18 innings? Wow! You know? Oh, a little coffee and a little prayer, you know? I'm walking in, praise the Lord, you know, just ready to go. Helping that neighbor. Got a little need out there. You know, I got a little time. I'm going to make time. That kind of thing. Those are the good works of the Father. Now, some people say, well, what's more important? You know, to share your faith verbally or the good works? Because, you know, some people say, I get nervous sharing my faith. When you ask a Christian about how's your witnessing, a lot of us get nervous. It's like, I don't know what to say. Maybe I need to take a class or something like that on how to share my faith. But really, you know, it's all important. What you say and what you do blends into a beautiful witness for Christ. We need both. Some people ask, well, which one's more important? Which one's more effective? Well, that would be like saying, what? Which wing on an airplane is the most important, the right wing or the left wing? Now, in politics, it's totally different. But on an airplane, I'm telling you, you got to have both. And both are important, right? Share my faith, very important. Maybe I need to kind of work on that and be more bold. Or maybe I'm good at that, but I'm not really good at the good works. I need to pray about, Lord, how can I shine for you? I don't know what does that mean, good works? How can I, you know, shine that light more to my surroundings, to my community? Maybe I need to think more in terms of the practicality. Maybe I'm just making it, you know, too complex or generalizing it too much. But with the Lord, He'll give us wisdom. All we have to do is pray, amen? Just pray, Lord, let your light shine through me. And it's going to be inevitable. God's going to open up those doors. Colossians 4:3, it says, pray for open doors to share your faith. If you want to share your faith more, pray for open doors. You know, God hears that prayer. Sometimes I notice that my opportunities to share Christ are kind of diminished. And it's like, so I've learned that when I pray, it kind of regenerates that. And God starts opening doors. Why? Because I prayed. And I wanted to be more intentional about sharing my faith. And so instead of like trying to, you know, grab any opportunity, like, you know, that wouldn't be wise, let the Lord open the doors. And we know when He opens a door, amen? We can kind of sense when the door's, you know, not there. We have to just be patient to know when to wait and when to take our authority and just kind of go forward a little bit and be bold. How do you know, Pastor Louis? You'll know. Because we have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? We're not left alone in these things. The Lord opens those doors. So I love these three verses here. You're the light of the world. You know, you're like a lamp up on a table. And so go out and shine. And through your good works, you're going to glorify your Father in heaven. Other people do good works and they take credit for it. And they get compliments and it's like, oh yeah, I know. Don't say anything. Just throw money. No. You know, and it's like, we're not to do that. We always glory in the Lord. When someone compliments us, what do? We just want to say a couple things there. We just want to say thank you and we want to say praise the Lord. It's Jesus. Amen. Because you do want to, you know, be grateful that people love you, to compliment you and how God has used you in their life. You say thank you, but you know, we know it's all the Lord, my brother, my sister, you know. And then it's all a good thing. Now, here's a question. Now that we've defined the Lord being the light, God's moral perfection, how His light came in to the world through His Son Jesus Christ, and then how we can shine the light of Jesus through our lives lived for Him. We might want to ask, since we're on this light thing and we're talking about the sun and everything, what may eclipse the light of Jesus in our lives? How many of you guys enjoyed that eclipse last year? You know, some people drove to the Midwest and up to Canada, you know, for that, because there was a, what was that term about the pathway? There was a certain term, like if you were in that sweet spot of that pathway, there was a certain term back there that was trending. And I was like, wow, you know, that's people, I think Nebraska was like the big place. Like, you going to Nebraska to watch the eclipse? Man, you're really into this thing, you know? But what might be an interesting, you know, stellar phenomenon, we think about in the spiritual sense, what can come in between us and the Lord? My brother James said it back there, it's so true. It's sin. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. So we're back to where we started in 1 John. 1 John 1, 6 through 7. Now, brother John, he's really like a dualist. Like he describes things as one way or the other, you know. And I like, there's like no middle ground with the Apostle John. So you'll notice this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. What's the word for that? Fellowship? Parts of the K? Right. Koinonia with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Woo! And so, if a person says, yeah, I know the Lord, because you ask people, do you know the Lord? And, yeah, I know the Lord. And it's kind of like, inside you're going, you do? I don't really see much fruit. I kind of just see the opposite. But you try not to judge. But it's like, okay, you know, give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, you know, I'm in this person's life not to judge them. God shows me things not to judge people, right? But God gives me discernment to help them, to push them on into that maturity in Christ. Maybe they need to rededicate their life to the Lord. So, you know, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Some people say, well, aren't there gray areas? I'll tell you something. Gray areas. You take white paint, and how do you make gray? You've got the black gallon of paint over here, you take some, you put it in the white gallon of paint, you mix it up again, that little freebie stick they give you, and what comes out now? It's the gray. So you get the point, right? Why even go gray? I mean, gray here is fine when you get old. But gray in the spiritual sense, to me, speaks of compromise. Gray is compromise. A little bit of black into my white is okay. But John says, you're either in light or you're in darkness. There's nothing in between. So we do have to pray about compromise, because it's so easy to compromise and to get away with it in the Christian life. So if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We lie and do not practice the truth. John says we're a liar. We're not really following the Lord if we're walking in darkness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, with the Lord, and fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the light. It's the light. The light is good. Now, one time, I was very determined to wash my car, but the sun was going down. And I was like, you know, times like that, it's like, do I or do I not? You know, oh, I'll just do a quickie job. But I'll be really fast and thorough. You know, I've done, how many times have I done this? I mean, get the hose out, you know, the whole bucket, the whole thing. And so, get the little Windex and paper towels and stuff. Voila, the car's going to look nice tomorrow. I get up the next morning, and the sun's shining on it. Like the worst job I've ever done on my car. All these streaks and everything. What exposed it? It was the light. And so often as we come to the Lord, see, the light is exposed upon us. And we can look at ourselves in the light of who He is and find that we really do need cleansing. We need to really turn that over to the Lord. You know, I'm busted. The Holy Spirit busted me. You know, I get that sense of conviction. Yeah, at first, like, I kind of bristle. I don't like it, you know. And then it's like, oh, why am I resisting the one who loves me, who gave His life for me? You know, I know everything He calls me to is good. Why am I being so stubborn? You know, I want to say yes more and no less in following Jesus. I want to be a quicker yes. I'll follow the Lord and to obey. And Lord, cleanse me because I see those streaks. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother. So now he skips to another topic but stays within the frame of the light. So now it's talking about personal relationship. The first one in chapter 1 is our personal relationship with God. But God doesn't leave it there. It's really important to God that we have what? Right on relationships with others. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother. Maybe no one knows. That's the way those emotions are. It can be so raw, but man, can we cover it up and put the little Christian cover to it, right? The little mask. Is in darkness until now. Hatred leads to what? Darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the what? The light. There's the contrast again. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. So we can stumble in our walk when we're not right with our brother. When I was youth pastor here, a long time ago, I would tell my kids this. We talked a lot about family relationships, obedient to parents and so forth. I would say, if you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. And they would kind of go, oh, Pastor Louis, you know. But it's true, isn't it? Same thing with your husband or your wife. It's hard to really go on in the Lord, isn't it, when we feel that friction. But man, when we get it right and we tell each other we're sorry and we get the Spirit back in our home, doesn't it feel good? Reunited and it feels so good. That was for free, you guys. And so forth and so on with a friend. It's like, man, something's going on. I don't know what it is. And I don't know if I did something wrong. You know, but when it all works out, it just feels so great. But he who hates his brother is in darkness, walks in darkness, does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And some people don't even know. They've got a clog. That's why it says back in the Sermon on the Mount, if you bring your gift to the altar and you still have hate, you know, bitterness in your heart towards your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile with your brother. And then come back and give your praise. That's good, isn't it? That's really good. So to walk in the light, according to John, is to have a right relationship with God and then a right relationship with other people. I like that. Now, we've talked about a lot of things in that regard. Now we want to, talk about the world being dark in these last days. And we've got a big question, okay? The question that which to propose to you is this. In the last days, is it going to be darker than it was prior, before Jesus comes? Have you heard that question? Have you posed it yourself, to yourself? Have you wondered about that? Because when you pick up the newspaper or you go online and get your news, what do you see? I like to ask you, is the world snowballing more into sin or less? How about since you were littler? When you were younger? When you were younger, reports of crime and school shootings and things. I just want to ask you, were they less or more back then? Right? So, is there a scripture for that? That it would be getting darker in the last days before Jesus comes? I want to give you a few, okay? So the first one is Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So many of these scriptures are in reference to the Messiah coming, Jesus Christ. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Do you see it there? Darkness shall what? Cover the earth. And what? Deep darkness, the people. Man, that's an underliner for me. When I saw that, I underlined deep darkness. And I just was going, wow, it's so true. It's deep darkness, the people. I can remember being at my grandma's house. And we got in her old Comet. Remember the cars, the Comet? Had little wings in the back, you know. Cool white, red interior, you know. Grandma, you didn't lock the door. Well, she said, no problem, honey. No one's going to break in. And no one ever did. But that was my grandma days. Not our days. That's why we have to get up so early now, huh? You got to go around the house. Got the little window widget things, little locks. People are going to Costco and getting those little webcam things, you know, for each the side of their house and all, and control it with your iPad in your kitchen or on your smartphone kind of thing. Man, security takes so long now, doesn't it? Lock your car. You ever had your car broken into? Deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And that speaks of Jesus Christ. And remember, we're the light of the world, so they're going to come to us too. We have an influence for Christ in this world. But there it is. Verse 2, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. There's such a deep darkness out there like we've never seen before. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. We need another one. Like Pastor Mark always teaches, you can't just put one doctrine, a whole, full doctrine on one verse. The cults do that. So we want to substantiate. A lot of Bible study is just, you know, substantiating, verifying things through those cross references. We're building a structure, a good foundation for what we want to say, the doctrines of the Lord. So 2 Timothy 3:1, this is, I'm in 1 Timothy. That's not going to work. 2 Timothy 3:1, but know this, that in the last days, happy days are here again. No. Perilous times will come. Perilous. And then it describes it. Men, and see if this is current generation. See if this is your newspaper. Men will be lovers of themselves. Have you heard about all the people dying because of the selfies? They're falling off of cliffs and everything. Lovers of money. Boy, I saw that recently. Everyone was talking about, you know, the lottery. Even the guy cutting my hair last week. Hey, get your ticket. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Living for pleasures. You know, I come to church on Sunday, I see like the people going out, they got everything on their car, their surfboards and their skis in the winter, you know, and so forth. It's like, man, they're on the way to Home Depot. It's like, really? You know, maybe after church, but, you know, follow me to church. I don't feel like putting a big sticker on the back. Follow me to church. Home Depot later. In the last days, perilous times will come. It's not going to get better. So sin has this snowballing effect. Unrighteousness leads to more unrighteousness, the Bible says. And this is what we're seeing, and we're living in it. How should we respond? Go back a few books to 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8. So obviously I don't want to get into all the current news and the statistics and so forth. I think it's a waste of time. We all know it. We all see it. We all have that gripping feeling every day. Really? Jewish synagogue shot up, another school shooting, this, that, and the other. Let's just leave it at that and talk about the solution here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Praise God. I mean, it's around us, but we're like those points of light, man. Just everywhere we're going, we're shining the Lord. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You know, the coming of the Lord. It's not going to surprise us. We're looking for Jesus. We're not afraid of the light. I need the light in my life. The world needs the light. I want to be a light bearer. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. This is not John, this is Paul. We've had John, Jesus, and now Brother Paul, all saying the same thing. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We're sons of light and sons of the day. That's why everything that we are about and that we share is about the light. Now, I'm not saying it's the only thing that you can ever talk about or whatever. When God's world is just full of wonder and beauty and a lot of wonderful things to experience. Was I into the Dodgers World Series? Yes. Was I ticked off when they lost? Yes. Am I liking the Rams being 8-0? Better believe it, buddy. I like to talk to people about all kinds of things. The surf is up. Awesome, you know. what's going on. I can talk about Trump. I can talk about, you know, the people coming from Guatemala, Honduras. You know, I can talk about immigration and this, that, and the other. I can put my spin on it. But to me, it all leads to Christ and the truth of God's Word. Because that's how we understand our world and develop our worldview. The parent of my politics is the Bible, the veracity of God's truth. I don't vote party. I vote principle. That determines my decisions. Therefore, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be what? Sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we're out there. That's why God gave us our jobs and our neighborhoods. And the wonderful checkers at the store, the people that we know, like by a first name basis. That person we've been doing mailing with at the post office for like years. Peggy. We tell Peggy about Jesus, right? Eventually it's going to come out. And they know. And they can tell, first of all, there's something different about us. We have a glow. And then inevitably it's going to spill out because, you know, what's inside of you eventually comes out. Amen? It's the treasure of your heart is what you're naturally going to want to share. And so, let's turn a corner here and come towards home. Let's talk about, when we contrast light and darkness, what about times in the Christian life where we feel in the dark and we need guidance, we need light? Do you think a Christian every now and then needs to make a proper decision? You come to a fork in the road. It's like, what do I do? Maybe you're struggling with something right now. We need light, don't we? Let's go to Psalm 27, verse 1. Let's go on the Autobahn here, and let's just really push through some scriptures. Psalm 27, verse 1. David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And so the Lord is my light. How important that is. Now, when Israel at nighttime in the wilderness were trucking through for all those years, what appeared at night? God had a nightlight for them. By the day, it was a cloud, and it was a pillar of fire at night. God's Shekinah presence. We don't know exactly like what it looked like or anything, you know, just some kind of glow. God just says, I'm gonna put like a little beam out there. You guys can get through, man. You know, you're not gonna be scared of those scorpions. And so God is the light. Now, let's go to Isaiah, to your right. Isaiah 42:16. Isaiah 42:16. I will bring the blind by the way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. Aren't you glad the Lord is our light? And when there is darkness in front of you, you don't know if you should quit your job. Maybe one of your buddies offered you another job at his employ. You're thinking about it, you know, you're wrestling. And maybe it's different. Maybe it's going from hourly to salary or something like that. And you're just trying to put that whole thing together. You know, what do we do? The Lord leads us, doesn't He? You can't miss God's will when you're a Christian and looking to Him. He's the light. You're going to see. If you can't see, then you can't see for now. But eventually you're going to see what God wants you to see. Just have faith. Maybe a few more steps, and you'll be able to see a little bit more of what God is doing in your life. You have to be patient. I love that verse. Now, Psalm 119:105. You probably have this memorized. Amy Grant has a song about it. Psalm 119:105. Boy, we used to sing it here back in the early days of Calvary Chapel Anaheim. You know, Brother Greg would always play this song. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when you need the light of the Lord and you feel in the dark about your life and what direction to take, what's a good thing to do? Keep in the Word. Read your Bible at home and then keep coming to Mark's Bible studies. And then the light will... Have you ever like been going through something and you're sitting right where you're sitting? And it's like, how did Mark know that? Has he been following me around all week? Anybody have that experience? That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And it's so cool. And what we need is a word from the Word. That's what Pastor Mark taught us early on. We need a word from the Word. We read the Bible. How do you know how much you should read? Just keep reading. And Ruth Bell Graham always said this too. Keep reading until you get something. You get that nugget. You know, just keep reading. And then it's like, wow, the Holy Spirit's going to give you something for your life. And it'll be like the flashlight. You'll know which direction to take. Praise the Lord. Now, let's finish it up and talk about eternity. We've talked about our lives here on earth. We've talked about our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and how we can share our faith. We've talked about, you know, what can eclipse the light of the Lord, you know, personal sin, not being right with our brother. We've talked about guidance and the Lord being our light and showing us the way. And now we want to talk about when we die, you know, there's going to be some options here, and it's going to all go down to what? Light and darkness. What has been from the beginning will always be all throughout eternity. And our choices today to walk in either one will determine where we're going to be once we die and what direction we're going to take there. And so let's go to Revelation 21:23. Revelation 21:23. I love those last few chapters of Revelation. Revelation, it's kind of a tough book, isn't it? I mean, it's exciting, but it's like all those judgments. But once all that's done and the Antichrist is cast into Gehenna, you have all these descriptions of heaven and how beautiful it is. And towards the end here, it says in Revelation 21:23, this city, it's New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. There's going to be no sun. Why? Because we have the Son of God shining. God Himself, man. We've done studies about the sun and how, you know, how hot it is and so forth. And man, you got to wear your sunglasses all the time. But just think about God who created the sun. What kind of amazing light is He? He's the sun. He's going to light up heaven for all of eternity. It reminds me of one of my favorite movies of all times is The Endless Summer. I grew up here in Southern California, you know, and I remember when that movie came out. And me and my brother saw it down at the Buena Park Theater. And I thought, that is the coolest thing. And the poster that went with it was the sun and the guy holding the surfboard on his head. And it says, The Endless Summer. And that's my happy place. Cheryl and I love to go to the beach. And we always like to go to where the sun sets. How beautiful it is on the water and over Catalina. But in heaven, the sun will never set. It's going to be the endless summer. Anybody happy tonight? Now, opposite though, the wicked will dwell in eternal darkness. So let's go to Matthew 8:12. Matthew 8:12. We want to talk about the doctrine of eternal life as well as the doctrine of eternal damnation. Does the Bible teach this? And we would have to say yes. The Bible is full of references. Matthew 8:12, Jesus himself. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into where? Outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here is a characteristic. There's a few characteristics here of what eternal damnation is going to be like. Being cast out into outer darkness. Now, I can't handle the darkness. I got to have like a little LED light or something in the room, you know. Which way's the bathroom, you know? Oh, yeah, follow that light, you know. And have you ever woken up in the darkness? Isn't it freaky? To be cast out into outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's when you're in pain. You gnash your teeth. Eternal torment. And so, what do we do? The last verse, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. What do we do? I want to hitch on to what Pastor Mark shared a few weeks ago. He had a really great Bible study. How we need to pray for people to see the light. And so, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Like, they don't get it. They don't get it. Right? You share with them, they don't get it. What do you do with that when they don't get it? Do you keep proceeding? Do you pull back? Do you just pray only? What do you do? Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. So right away you know that you're dealing with not just the person, but with who? With Satan himself. Has blinders on those people's eyes. And before you get too frustrated, remember how long it took you to come to Christ. Amen? And have a little patience with people who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And Mark proposed that we should pray for the blinders to come off so they could see the light of Jesus Christ, accept him, and be with the Lord in the light of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for contrasting light and darkness for us. And we would just like to ask that you, Lord, would be our light. And we ask, Lord, that you would just cleanse us from all sin and anything that is not of you, Lord, any streak of sin, any touch of gray, any compromise, that, Lord, you would convict us of it and that we would turn from it and follow Christ only. And Lord, that we would be right with our brother. If we're struggling with something, Lord, maybe someone owes us money, someone said something bad, gossiped about us, someone ripped us off, someone has mistreated us. Father, we just want to not have hatred in our hearts. Give us that love that we need, Lord. And we just pray that we will shine for you in this world, that you will give us opportunities, that you will open up those doors, and that nothing would eclipse the Son of God in our lives. We pray for light and direction for each and every one of us that need the Lord. And Lord, that you would help us when we reach those impasses, those forks in the road. We don't know which way to go. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us. And we thank you that we have all of eternity to look forward to. The light of Jesus now and the light forever. We can't wait, Lord, to be with you. We just pray for our world to be saved. We pray, Lord, that you would rescue people out of darkness. We pray for the church at large to be on fire for you. Lord, we just pray that our light would just shine brighter for you, that people may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And we ask all this, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If you need prayer for anything, just come on forward. We're just going to pray for your need, your situation. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord just fill you with his light shining more than you've ever shined, because it's a work of the Lord, not something that you're trying to manifest, but just have that ease in it. The Holy Spirit giving you a fresh witness for him at work, at home, and everywhere you go in the community, that together we could just go out and let people know how much Jesus loves them. And remember too that we have our 40-year reunion this Sunday after second service, so we hope you guys can come. The Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.